Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined remotely by the number two overall pick in the draft, Jay Williams, and the 2008 NBA champ, Mr. Kendrick Perkins. Welcome, guys. Coming up, we're going to show everyone the latest teaser for The Last Dance. Michael Jordan says Horace Grant was leaking info to the media. How big of a no-no is that for players? Oh, we'll discuss that. First, though, the NBA is continuing to hone its policies for how teams can reopen their practice facilities in states that have loosened their stay-at-home orders. So yesterday, teams got a 16-page memo detailing protocols for workouts. They include no more than four players are allowed in the entire building at a time. No head or assistant coaches can be involved. A chief hygiene officer, guys, is going to manage cleaning between player workouts. There's going to be temperature checks, social distancing measures. These workouts can start no earlier than May 8th. Although it is up to each team if they want to open their facility at all. Atlanta Hawks president of basketball operations, Travis Schlenk, told ESPN, quote, "We're going to wait and see what happens in the state over the next couple weeks. If there's a positive response, we will slowly open up. If it's a negative response, we will make sure our staff and players remain healthy." Kendrick, how do you think the NBA should go about this process so that players actually feel comfortable?
Well, Rachel, you know what happened in 2014? I'll tell you what happened. We got the best commissioner in the world. We got Adam Silver, who's the best commissioner in the world. And one thing about Adam Silver is that, in my eyes, he haven't steered the NBA wrong since he took over the commissioner job. And one thing I know about the NBA, it's a $1 billion industry, a $1 billion business, and with their first class, you know, in everything that they do. And one thing I know about them is that they're going to always cross their T's and dot their I's. So I have full faith and full confidence that the NBA is going to reopen the facilities when it's time and when it's safe for the players and the training staff and whoever else that needs to be in the facility.
So you know what, Perk? I'm with you. We should start the whole logo about we trust in Adam Silver. Out of all the commissioners of all the leagues, Perk, like, he is the most practical and he is the most pragmatic, Rachel. So when I look at him doing this, look, I think these are taking the right steps towards reopening basketball. But also, I like the behind-the-scenes strategy that Adam Silver has. Instead of guys going out to random 24-hour fitnesses or trying to find arbitrary locations to play basketball, he is trying to contain players and make sure that their health isn't in jeopardy as well by making sure that, hey, you have the optionality of going to these facilities and here's a safe environment for you to work out instead of you trying to go in a different direction and who knows what you could subject yourself to. So I like the strategy overall. It's just a step in the right direction. Doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but it is a great step for fans to see that they are moving towards getting the season open or finding some way to get it going some way or another.
Look, this is one of the tricky things about reopening, whether it's on the practice facility scale or whether it's on the league as a whole scale or other matters of public interest. There's never going to be zero risk. So for NBA teams, it's about how do you mitigate that risk the most? And that's exactly right, Jay. There's all kinds of areas where NBA teams try to mitigate risk for their players. Use our trainers, use our workouts so you don't hurt yourselves. Things like that. That is a little bit of what this is. But there is a complication because you're going to have the issue of guys in states with looser guidelines having this kind of access we're talking about to facilities where guys in states with stricter guidelines wouldn't. The NBA says they're going to work with teams to make other arrangements. Remember, a lot of guys have been telling us they don't even have a hoop to shoot on. And to that end, the Lakers apparently not willing to take any chances. Our Dave McMenamin reporting they are in contact with the LA mayor's office here to see if they can open their facility even with the stay-at-home order still in effect in California. Jay, how complicated do you see this getting?
Well, I mean, this is just not a basketball issue. This is a life crisis issue, and this is a state-by-state governed situation that needs to occur. Obviously, Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., is going to dictate, you know, what's in the best interest for the city of L.A., not what's in the best interest for the Los Angeles Lakers. So as much as I understand what the Lakers and LeBron, these guys are talking about, them being at a disadvantage as it relates to working out, that is currently where we are. Rach, this whole thing is going to be a series of ebbs and flows, and we're going to have to be fluid with how we navigate it. It won't be fair, but that's where life is right now.
No, I agree with you, Jay, 100%. But here's my take on it. If I'm the Lakers, not only just the Lakers, if I'm the Clippers, I'm going to the mayor and I'm trying to get in the practice facilities. And here's why. If the NBA is going to open up practice facilities and they're saying to teams that are in cities that, you know, like Texas, for example, where the stay home order rule is not in effect on Friday, so people are able to go out, start their businesses or whatever. So if you look at the Dallas Mavericks, the Houston Rockets, the San Antonio Spurs, their facilities are going to be open and they're going to be able to go in and train, and they're getting probably a 2 or 3 week advantage over everybody else. And we all know it. And we all know as basketball players that that's not fair. So, I mean, you know, you can't give one team or two teams advantage, a 2-3 week advantage, because it's not going to work out well.
It's going to be very interesting, dicey for everyone concerned. I want to switch gears, though, guys, to Draymond Green, because he joined our friends Matt Barnes and Stephen Jackson on Showtime's All the Smoke podcast. And he said the following about himself and his teammates, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Quote, us three... bleeping. I don't have the Michael Jordan license, guys. I can't say that word on TV. Us three bleeping changed the game of basketball forever. Now, Charles Barkley, who has repeatedly gone back and forth with Draymond in the media, said this yesterday on the Coffee with Cal show, quote, Draymond is the worst member of a boy band who doesn't realize he's standing next to Justin Timberlake. When the girls are throwing panties at his head, he's going to get hit by some drive-bys, but they're really meant for Timberlake. Charles has used a version of this euphemism before, and Perk, I'm sure you're going to be nicer than Barkley, but do you agree that Draymond belongs in that same sentence with the Splash Brothers as a game, league, sport changer?
Listen, Draymond Green says a lot of crazy things that some of us may not agree with, right? But what he said in this statement, I agree with him. And Charles Barkley said something that was key, that Draymond is part of the band. So, yes, he should put his name in a conversation with the Splash Brothers. We're talking about Draymond Green, a defensive player of the year. He was part of that culture with the Golden State Warriors that changed the game of basketball. If people remember when Draymond Green played the center position at times at 6'5". So they went extra small. They ran their offense. He's a facilitator. He's a key part. He's the heart and soul of that team. And Draymond Green brings tenacity and swag to the Golden State Warriors. So, yes, Draymond, you should include your name with the Splash Brothers when you talk about how y'all changed the game.
The other members of the group, they may not be Justin Timberlake, but I bet you they all got Grammys, though. They all got Grammys, right?
Right.
So those Grammys are presented at their crib, and that's what Draymond Green has to play for it and has to say for it. You know what, too, Rachel Perk? Like, watching the Last Dance documentary, when you watch Dennis Rodman, and yes, I am putting Draymond Green's name in that category to a degree, like, there's a genius and there's a savant to the effort and the style in which he plays. And Perk, you can attest to this. To play hard each and every possession, to think through the game, the level of conditioning that your body needs to be through physically and psychologically to play at that level in order to enhance what Steph and Clay can do with that team, that deserves praise. And that's where Draymond Green deserves the praise and the recognition that needs to come his way. I agree with him.
Draymond, I mean, think about it, Rachel, Jay, Draymond won Defensive Player of the Year 6'5", playing the 4 and the 5 in the NBA. Like, that's impressive in itself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Perk. I mean, I think we think so much about his contributions offensively, and he certainly had so many, even within that group. But his facility on defense, the way he was able to move around, and the Warriors were not the first to put a guy of that size and build at the five. It's not like it hasn't happened before. But that death lineup worked because of Draymond, because of his instinct, savvy, yep. his ability to get his nose in there. And I'm sorry, they don't win those titles unless Draymond Green is part of that group. I just don't see it. So that doesn't mean that he's the most important guy in that group. He's not. But it means that they can't win without him, and that makes him deserve to be in that sentence. All right, coming up, guys, we got to get to Sue Bird. I'm telling you, we got to get to Sue Bird because she's so, so good. We're talking about her IG live show up next, whether this is the longest she's gone without a hoop. And our Connecticut viewers, please allow Sue to get some shots up in your driveway. She's going to make a personal appeal next. First, it's time for our distant replays, though. It's this date in NBA history. Check it.
Audrey. As Damon knocked it away from Crowdy, up to Damon, Jackson, and Rasheed. Oh, my goodness! Can I get a witness?
Right over the outstretched hand of Stepanya. It's a great catch and drop by Wallace.
Didn't get the assist there. Doug Christie. Carter with some authority. Thanks for coming out.
So Vince Carter, fourth man in the transition game. But ran hard.
Dives in, deep kick out to LeBron. Can't double him there. Whoa, what a pass! It went right by the ear of Haywood, who never saw it. Game tied at 67. Oh, man.
Now, they're still buzzing here. That was worth the price of admission today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Just because the game we love is on hold doesn't mean it leaves us. All the hype, all the passion still remain. When you're a fan, you're never alone.
NBA fans, we miss you. Can't wait to play in front of you guys again.
We're in this together. The NBA on ESPN.
Tonight at 5 Eastern, it's SportsCenter with the PTI guys joining the show. And we cap the day with SVP at 11 Eastern after a replay of Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS. That's Red Sox-Yankees. That's the Aaron Boone game. You're going to want to watch it. Welcome back to The Jump. I am just always so thrilled when the legend Sue Bird stops by the show. Sue, you have become one of the heroes we need. During this quarantine, you and your partner, the soccer goddess, Megan Rapinoe, have been doing these wind downs on Instagram, and they are amazing. We have gotten to hear you sing, tell stories, including the one about the time that Megan barfed into a plant when she was trying to keep up drinking with you and Diana Taurasi.
Well, I was trying to keep up with you and Dee. That was a disaster. I didn't know.
I'm just going to say this right now for everyone that doesn't know. You can't drink with UConn players. It's like, it's something about how they recruit us. It's like in our DNA. I don't know what it is.
I didn't know that.
No, now you do.
This has been incredible.
Yeah, you know, just giving the people the content they never knew they needed every Saturday night. That's what we're trying to do.
What made you want to connect with people like that during this time?
Honestly, pretty quickly, we wanted to think of ways to help give back. And obviously you can do that in multiple ways with like local businesses. And then we're like, well, what's like a fun way to take people's mind off what's happening? And even if it's just for like 1 hour, you know, one night a week. And then we started to get a little more creative with it as we've gone. So
I love it. Megan is clearly one of the most capable humans, best athletes on the planet, and yet she could not keep up drinking with you and Diana Taurasi, which I appreciate.
Yeah, you know, I always tell her she's little. It's sometimes it's just she's a smaller person. You know, it happens.
Know your limitations.
Yeah, know your limitations.
You guys are at your apartment in Connecticut, which means no driveway, which means no hoop. What is it like to be stuck without anywhere to shoot for so long? Has you ever had a stretch like this in your life?
No, I haven't. 100% no. It's I don't know. It's weird. It's awkward. I think we're all kind of in the same boat as everybody right now. We're just trying to make do, make it work. I do actually do a lot of basketball. I get the ball in my hands, go to like an open space and use that home court app where you can do like all these different ball handling drills. But yeah, no hoop is weird. I need to go find a friend with a hoop somewhere. I gotta go.
People of Connecticut, if Sue Bird knocks on your door, she will keep a respectful 6 to 8 foot distance, but she just might want to use the driveway.
Let me get some jump shots up.
The WNBA season is like the NBA season. It's been indefinitely postponed. And there are some scenarios where the WNBA just doesn't have a season at all this year. How jarring has that realization been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I try to take it with, I don't know, just understanding that obviously there's a lot, you know, more happening in our world right now that is bigger than sports. But then, of course, I have my moments where I'm like, well, this is how it impacts me. And in that moment, I'm like, whoa, that would be wild not to have a season.
And you have been also planning to compete in the Tokyo Olympics this summer. It would have been your fifth. The games have now been postponed to next summer. You will be 40 years old. Would you still want to go to the Olympics? Do you think the people at USA Basketball are going to be scared off by that 4-0 number?
No, I got to admit, it's interesting because my birthday is just late. Like I'm born in October. So I'm in the year to be 40. I would have been in that year this summer. But I wasn't going to, you know, quite be there. I was still going to have that 3, which I was holding on to. But, you know, it's a year from now. It's another year of, you know, wear and tear on your body. It's another year of anything can happen, especially with an older player. I'm totally aware of that. You know, when the day comes, I think we'll all know, right? Like USA Basketball will know if I'm good enough. And, you know, I guess the eye test will know if I'm good enough as well. So we'll see.
It is interesting, though, because the shutdown affects older players differently. If you lose a year of your career at 24 years old, it's not fun. But then there's age 25. When you're Sue Bird or Carmelo Anthony or LeBron James, this shutdown could be robbing you of something you potentially might not get back, right?
100%. 100%. Like I said, an added year. You know, even I think back 1 year ago, and I was a totally different person body-wise, you know? So it's like as you go, and it's, they always say you can't beat Father Time. I always joke back, like, I'm actually not trying to beat him. I'm just trying to tie. Like, if I could just stay how I am for, like, a little bit longer. Hold on a little bit longer.
All I can say is if you keep drinking that wine on Saturday nights during the Instagram, that will help preserve you. And then you can make it fine till next season.
I found the key to success. I mean, listen, I'm sure all you follow LeBron on Instagram. It seems like the wine is working.
Yes. Sue, thank you so much for being with us. We will be checking back with you during this quarantine. So we'll check in on those hoop drive-bys.
I was just going to say, I'll let you know if I find a hoop. Thanks for having
me. Coming up, we're looking ahead to the next two storylines of The Last Dance. These episodes will be about the rift between Michael Jordan and Horace Grant after the Bulls' first three-peat. Was Grant's frustration understandable? That's next on The Jump.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Tomorrow, be sure to tune in as we continue to revisit the most significant games in NBA Finals history. Got a couple of dynasty busters for you. At 7 Eastern, it's Pistons-Lakers from 2004. That led to the breakup of Shaq and Kobe. We follow with San Antonio-Miami in the 2014 Finals, LeBron's last game in a Heat uniform. And speaking of that Heat team, Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union recently hosted Steph and Aisha Curry on IG Live. And my, my, what topic did they get into?
Too. What was your opinion on the last dunk that Aaron Gordon did?
Aaron should have won, man.
Wait, but from that dunk or period?
He not. That dunk was not his best, but he should have won. He had the better body of work. So I understand the dilemma. I just know Aaron Gordon should have won.
Right. But we're talking about the last dunk. Would you game with 9 game with 10? Because up until that point, I gave Aaron Gordon a 10 every time.
I honestly, I would have been biased, and I would have said, yeah, he got a 10. I got to make sure he wins.
Great answer. So, listen, I was biased as well.
It's okay.
Because I gave Derrick Jones Jr. a 9 on his first dunk when he jumped over Bam.
Right.
I'm all about, if you're going to do it, you got to clear him.
That's right. You tell you got a little
clear him, so I gave him a 9.
That was so good, we had to make it our crunch time today because Aaron Gordon himself has also weighed in. Yesterday, he dropped a diss track that Gordon entitled 9 out of 10. That, of course, was the score Wade gave Gordon, which essentially cost him the dunk contest. He's got a little bit of Dwayne Wade's whine in the video. Jay Will, is it time for Gordon to let this go once and for all? Or if the man was robbed, is he entitled to keep talking about it?
You know what, Rachel? I played USA basketball back in the day and I had to go to Sao Paulo and I got robbed in Sao Paulo and it's still there. You can't just rob a man and act for it to go away. It never leaves you, Rach. Aaron Gordon has a right to be mad at this for the rest of his life. Facts.
Thank you, Jay. You took the words right out of my mouth. Listen, Rachel, Jay, I think we got to start taking the slam dunk contest more serious. Like, this is a huge accomplishment, in my opinion. You know, you're joining greats, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Kobe Bryant. And, like, to have your name in that same conversation with those greats, that speaks volume, Ben. And also, think about it. When you win a slam dunk contest, you get so many endorsements outside of basketball. Mm-hmm. So if I'm Aaron Gordon, I'm holding on to it for life.
Absolutely. And those guys, Steph and Dwayne, got into the real issue. Should you be judged on your body of work in the dunk contest or just that last dunk? That, to me, is what needs to change. All right, guys, we got to switch to Sunday at 9 Eastern because it's episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. And here is a sneak peek of what you'll see.
Jerry invited me to come to his room and he had earmarked about 25 different quotations in the book, and he wanted me to sit and listen to him while he read them. And that started with, like, you know, who do you think could do this? Were you part of this?
While the early reports have brought a flurry of denials, players giving out sensitive information to the press is one surefire way to cause a division within the team.
I didn't contribute to that, and that was Horace. He was telling everything that was happening within the group.
You know, as we started winning championships and everybody talked about Michael and then everybody talked about everybody else, I mean, that really pissed off Horace. He felt slighted. He was in Michael's shadow.
No, not one thing have I ever divulged to Sam Smith.
Ooh. Horace denying the accusations. Perk, do you think Grant's frustration was understandable here?
No, listen, Horace, you will always be in Michael Jeffrey Jordan's shadow. That's just the way it is. Y'all were rock stars back in the 90s, and guess who was the lead singer? Michael Jordan. So that's part of it. When you think of Horace Grant, you think of Horace Grant as an NBA champion. Hey, man, just get your flowers and move on.
But Perk, did you hear what he said? I've never divulged anything to Sam Smith. He didn't say he never divulged anything to anybody else. Loose lips sink ships, my man. That's what went down. It was said to somebody else, and it came back to Sam Smith. Operative words are things you need to pay attention to, my man. He says the answer right there at the end of the clip. It speaks for itself,
well,
Rach.
Sam Smith, Jay, wrote the Jordan Rules, and that is certainly one of the big leaks of the time. Thanks, guys, for joining me. We'll see you back tomorrow.